Listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at basicallyasportsshow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Shall we try this again?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. We are back after horrific technical difficulties. Okay, we're back and going.
It's like the good old days.
It's like the good old days, yeah. Like the good old days.
It's a throwback. Hey, it's Thursday. We could throw back on our two-year anniversary celebration.
To think when I was on our YouTube account today and I saw that you could do live streaming stuff, I thought, that might be fun. Nah, not after tonight. Forget it. Out of the question. Anyway, I think we need to talk about the elephant in the room because, as I told Mike earlier tonight via text, the NFL has given us wife beaters. The NFL has given us child abusers. But today, we got the Daily Double. We've got a guy that did both.
Yeah.
And that would be one, I can't remember his first name, Dwyer from the Cardinals.
Jonathan Dwyer.
And we've had, since our last time we convened, we've had sponsors drop out from the NFL, sponsors threaten to drop out from the NFL.
Pepsi gave a very Anheuser-Busch-like statement today as well.
Right.
Saying, we're concerned, but we're not leaving.
And as you know, as Mike had pointed out in his, I guess, what are we going to call that? A press release, I suppose, that you did there?
I get bonus content, maybe?
In his press conference explaining, but if I remember right, you're okay still talking about this stuff, right?
Oh, yes. No,
right.
We're talking about this stuff.
But so we said on basically a football show just 2 days ago, Zach, that we would show up on Thursday and it would probably be worse. Guess what, folks? It's worse. So what's next?
I told you off air on Tuesday, Peyton Manning runs a cockfighting ring.
Like, it's going to turn out Tom Brady's been running a white slavery ring out of his basement.
Well, there's a little note, trending topics on Facebook. Peyton Manning says that Colorado's legalized marijuana laws have helped his pizza business.
Oh, I would imagine so.
So maybe Peyton is a weed distributor.
If he really wants to cash in, he needs to throw chocolate chip cookies on the menu, and he'll be good to go. Chocolate chip cookies and probably potato chips.
Yeah.
And not that he needs more money.
The NFL just has a lot of things not going its way of late.
The reason I wanted to talk about it is because last week we were saying, like, I think we brought up, what about advertisers? And we're like, we just can't see it happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, have we finally hit the point where, and we've asked it a gazillion times on the show, is it really starting to go down the other side of the hill? I'm beginning to think it is.
With Anheuser-Busch, the thing about that is that that's a $1.1 billion deal. They don't even have to walk away to make noise. All they have to do is say, we're thinking about it.
Right. All they have to say is, we're concerned. And that made people say, whoa, hold on a second.
Yeah, they fired a shot across the bow, and it got everybody's attention.
Radisson pulled out of the Vikings entirely.
Right.
I think they suspended.
Yeah, they suspended the
partnership.
The Vikings did do what they wanted, what people wanted them to do. And it's funny now. It's funny now. There's something that we had never heard of before. All of a sudden pops up where, there's an exemption list?
Right.
The commissioner's exemption list? Oh, well then, yeah, sure. Adrian Peterson, you go over there. Greg Hardy, step on down. Ray McDonald, you're next. Hold on. We got to make sure you pass through the velvet rope. Like, Jonathan Dwyer, come on down into the VIP exemption list. You're still going to get paid because technically you're not in jail yet.
But you know what, though? I'm okay with that.
Right. It's what they can do. It's without,
But you see, here's the thing, though. It's not what they could do. They could just fire them. I mean, Ray Rice was released from his contract.
Right. Well, see, that's what I'm saying, too. Why all of a sudden does this just appear? Why didn't they just do this to Ray Rice? Did people just forget? And then somebody told the Vikings about it, like, we can do that. And everyone else was like, oh, yeah, we can do that.
I think you just hit it right on the head. Exactly.
Like, you can't tell me for a second that the Ravens would have done the same thing for Ray Rice.
You're right. I think someone discovered it and went, wait a minute, we can do this, and that's how they're handling it now.
Like I said on Monday, my problem here isn't that the NFL employs horrible people, because you can find horrible people in any profession.
Sure.
I'm not going to hold that against the NFL that they have wife beaters and child abusers on the payroll. Everyone does. The problem is how they choose to handle it. As far as I can tell, Roger Goodell still hasn't said anything about Adrian Peterson.
No one's even seen
which,
him.
You know what? You know what, though? Honestly, from a PR standpoint, for him, it's probably best that he doesn't say anything until this all kind of subsides a little bit. Because he can't come back from mishandling the Ray Rice stuff to all of a sudden, well, I screwed up really bad there, but I'm going to be hard on these guys, and you're all going to like me now. That wouldn't have happened.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I saw this on a Keith Olbermann clip I was watching today with the Ray Rice thing. That's essentially what happened there was double jeopardy. They'd punished him once and said, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
We didn't punish him harsh enough. We're going to punish him again. And you know right. what? According to the NFLPA agreement, I believe you're not allowed to do that.
That's something I brought up when it happened because I obviously don't want to defend Ray Rice, but him and his lawyers and the union is fighting this not because they're trying to support Ray Rice, but because if they don't, they lose their right to it. You know,
the interesting thing, and we're talking about doubling back, is that, yes, the Vikings did place Adrian Peterson on this exempt list, whatever that entails. But only after they agreed to make – they said we're letting him play.
That's the absurdity of the whole thing. This is why I wanted to get to this so badly tonight because on Monday when you and I talked about this, I think you made a very compelling case. And then, damn, if we didn't watch the following 3 days, everything play out exactly the way you say it does. Everything that you had a problem with, we have seen illustrated beautifully in the 3 days since that you made the announcement. It's just crazy. And the Vikings, my God, how can you take them seriously anymore? Oh, we're going to sit them down, which was the right thing to do. We get our asses kicked. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to let due process play out.
That was the big thing. You saw that score line for that Vikings Patriots game when he didn't play, and then the Monday after that, they're saying, "Oh, well, we're going to let him play." As I said on Monday, at least Al Davis would have been honest about it. At least Al Davis would have been like, "Did you see us on Sunday? We suck."
Well, you know, and the thing that's driving me the most nuts about this is the Vikings could have said, "Hey, you know what? We fucked up, and we fucked up bad, and we're going to make it right." Nope. They've tried to PR their way around this whole thing, and it's just so ridiculous. And where do we go from here? What happens now? What's next? And I don't mean, like, which player is going to be next. We'll find that out on Tuesday. By Tuesday, we'll know who the next player is. But what do you do now if you're the NFL?
I don't know where they go. I mean, I think the only way that they can – the only thing they can do at this point is just hope and pray to God that nothing else of this magnitude happens.
Like Tom Brady doesn't like run someone over with his car while drunk.
Right. Well, all they have to do is hope that they stay relative. I mean, and at this point, it's the key word here is relative because relatively clean because they're not going to stay clean. The NFL is no longer clean, never was, never ever will be. So they just have to stay relatively clean in regards to things of, you know, domestic violence and child abuse.
Well, it's not even a matter of staying clean necessarily. It's a matter of responding to it with an appropriate punishment. Like,
sure.
Again, like I said, I don't think anyone's going to begrudge the NFL if they have less than savory people on their payroll. Every job you can find bad people on the payroll. But the fact of the matter is that when those people do something that unseemly, that elite. When someone does something illegal, they get fired from their normal job. Like the NFL can no longer just say like, "Oh, we gave a 2-game suspension for domestic abuse. That's not a big deal." Like they can't do that anymore. They have to come down hard.
I think this kind of bangs on something that we've talked about in other discussions when it comes to like, I guess when it comes to fans and sports and stuff. We've established in a lot of other different ways that being a professional athlete isn't like having a normal job. You can't use the same workplace rules and kind of protocol that you do with professional sports.
Why not?
I mean, in an ideal way, you could and you should. But it's established itself as so different in allowing itself to be that way. That you can't. And if you do, then you have to set a hard line, and it really would probably set a lot of this back.
Or
anything like that.
My big thing here, and the reason why the Adrian Peterson thing was the thing that, you know, was the final straw for me, was that, you know, after the whole Ray Rice incident, then Adrian Peterson thing pops up, and I waited for a while, and I heard nothing from the league. And then I heard that the Vikings were going to hem and haw about it. And I thought, you know, if beating a four-year-old with a stick, if the moral bar is so low in the NFL that beating a child with a stick until he bleeds isn't grounds for some sort of discipline on a moral level, then I'm done with that organization. And that's what it is. It's gotten to the point where just because the guy's a star player, he can pretty much he can beat a four-year-old child, and it doesn't matter. Just the fact that, you know, it is starting to matter, I think, is good. The NFL is finally learning that it can no longer allow its stars to expect immunity in these sorts of situations. And I think that's a positive step going forward. Look, the NFL is a business. At the end of the day, if, you know, they need to be scared into doing the right thing by their sponsors, then so be it. But as long as some sort of moral precedent is set at the end of this, then personally I'll be happy.
I'm glad you brought that up, especially in the case of the Vikings, because this is another thing we talked about. If it was a star player, what would happen? And we saw it. We saw what happened. They sat him down. They said, oh, my God, we lost. We need our best player back, which no one's surprised by that, but it went against their very own precedent. There were four other players over the past however many years it's been that got into trouble, and guess what? Every single one of them was sat down and cut, and that was the end of it, except Adrian Peterson. We're talking about the Minnesota Vikings here. Again, to make Mike's point, is that I can completely understand why you look at that and you go, this is just such nonsense. But my question is this with the Arizona Cardinals now, okay, with Jonathan Dwyer. Bruce Arians says, there's no place for him, blah, 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 this and that. That's that he's gone. But here's my question. Is it sincere, or is it because of what we've seen happen in the past 3 weeks?
Well, and see, that's the other thing why I think Roger Goodell hasn't come out and done anything, at least over the last week. Because anything that happens in the immediate is going to be seen as reactionary, especially if it's a harsh penalty.
But whose fault is that? That's their fault.
I know. It's their fault because they let it go to this point in the first place. But that's the other thing is the really the best thing they can do right now is just kind of not do anything and just kind of let it be as it is. Because any reaction is saying that you're being reactionary, you're being, you know, a little too hard-handed. But then any sort of lenient punishment, it's too lenient. So the only thing they can do is throw their hands up in the air and say, what do you want from us right now? There's obviously not a clean way to fix it.
Oh, there is. I have the perfect solution, and we'll get to it when we're done with this. You want to fix the NFL right now today?
What, cut everybody?
No. What you have to do, it's very simple, really. You have to do what baseball did back after the Black Sox scandal in 1919. You say, okay, you know what? Roger Goodell and however many people that you feel are part of the problem along with him, they've got to go. And you bring in a hardline guy. The first thing he does at his first press conference is he sits down and he says, this is exactly how we're going to handle this, this, and this. The domestic violence thing, if it happens, guess what? We're going to put you on that exempt list, and you're not going to play until the matter is settled. It's simple as that.
The funny thing is, Roger Goodell was the hardline guy.
I know. That's what's so strange about all of this.
But yeah, he was, but he never sat down and said – he never sat down and put together a protocol or guidelines. And that, in my opinion, right now, that is the only thing that saves this league at this point. I mean,
right.
It has to be done.
I think we've established that Goodell needs to be fired. But I think the thing that you're kind of leaning to there, and I agree, is whenever the new person comes in, the commissioner is no longer the head of discipline. You get a new commissioner, create a disciplinary office.
Like every other sport has. Every one of the major sports has. I think even including NASCAR even has that. Really, at this point in the game, especially with these things just happening one after the other like this, that's the only solution. Because it, no matter what happens from this point forward, like you said, Zach, no matter what anybody does, you're not going to believe any of it because it's all still part of the same hypocrisy that's been going on all along. So somebody has to come in and say, this is the way it's going to be, and that's that, and there won't be any question from this point forward. I'm going to clean this up, and I think that solves the problem. But, again, will they do that? Who knows? Because the NFL, they're huge, and I think they're also a little bit tone deaf and a little bit out of touch, and I don't think they realize just how much trouble they're really in right now.
Yeah, it's just – I mean, I don't know if any of us can really kind of speak to where they are right now, at least from their side of it,
because they're in such a hole.
Right.
That to dig out of it is, it's going to be some feat for them to really kind of establish the trust with fans or the general public about certain aspects of the league at this point.
See, I just think that the longer they wait to make the strong move, the worse it gets, and the harder it's going to be to come back. Like you said, Zach, it's hard for us to say, because first off, we're just three people. We don't really have a big enough sample size of NFL fans to know how far-reaching the discontent is at this point. But
I mean, I think we're in enough contact with enough NFL fans to know how the fans feel. But to see it from the other side of the desk, like in Roger Goodell's desk, for instance.
I think that the people that he works for, which are the 32 NFL owners, have to sit down and say, hey, you know what? We've got to cut our losses here and bring in the harsh disciplinarian, bring in the Kennesaw Mountain Landis of this century, whoever that might be. Yeah. Because when the White Sox thing happened back in 1919, that's, you know, baseball was, I don't know about the wife beating and all that, but it was pretty damn corrupt at the time. And he came in and he laid down the law. And a lot of people say he saved the game at that point. So that, I think that's what the NFL has to do from a PR standpoint, and to just end this as quickly and as cleanly as possible. That's the only route they have to go in my book.
Yeah. It's a matter of when. And I know guys like Jerry Jones have come out and said, well, we're 100% behind the commissioner. No matter how good he is for your side of the business, Jerry Jones or Dan Snyder or whoever else.
And it's not helping that, like, two of the most hated owners in the NFL are backing Goodell, like Jerry Jones Snyder.
They're also the two of the most vocal, so you just see them more often than not. One because he's a blowhard, the other one because he's an idiot. You can pick which one that is.
I think that applies to both of them.
That's what I meant. You can pick which one you want to apply it to.
What it's going to take, I think, at this point for them to really move is if an Anheuser-Busch pulls out and says, that's it. We're taking our $1.1 billion, then we're heading across the street to the NBA or to baseball, soccer, whatever. And if that doesn't happen, this is just going to keep going on. But it's going to take an Anheuser-Busch and a Pepsi to just go, you know what, screw this, we're done. And I think that will finally get the wheels in motion to get this straightened out. And if they don't, I don't know where this ends. I don't know how it goes.
It's exhausting that we still have to talk about this.
It really is.
We've been talking about this for like three weeks.
But that's because it doesn't let up. Like, something happens, and then when that story's about to die down, something else happens.
All you can do is laugh at it, because it's like we did when we talked about Ray Rice. Like, imagine if this was Adrian Peterson. Well, damn it, lo and behold, there's Adrian Peterson. Like, you just couldn't script it. It's just... real life is sometimes funnier than anything else.
I know. You might want to be careful with the Peyton Manning runs a cockfighting ring thing, because so far we've hit them all right on the head. So. If that comes out tomorrow, I'm done with sports. Forget football. I'm done with all of it. That's it.
You know what the name of his favorite rooster is, right? Omaha.
Ah.
That's where he gets to the practice. Omaha. Come on, Omaha. Go for the eyes, Omaha.
What do we want to move on to next? Our Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are the official American League West champions.
Yep. The Orioles and Nationals have also clinched their divisions.
There is still good stuff in sports, believe it or not. There's still a lot of good stuff.
Yep. Hockey training camps open today.
Yep.
Even though the Blue Jackets are lowball.
Blue Jackets
and this Ryan Johansson thing.
Oh, God.
Have you been following this, Greg?
No, yeah. I don't want to.
Here's the thing. The Blue Jackets aren't even lowballing him, but they're so fed up with the negotiations, they've actually come out, like, they're throwing him under the bus, because they're coming out and telling – they told the media either today or yesterday about the contract offers they've offered him, and that he just keeps saying no.
Are they reasonable contract offers?
This is what they offered. John Davidson, the president of the Blue Jackets, came out and said that they first offered him $6 million over 2 years.
Okay.
He said no. So then they came back with $32 million over 6 years. He said no. And then their third offer was $46 million over 8 years. And he said no.
So that's a little over five a year.
The thing is, and what it seems like he wants, based on what the years that they skipped because they went from two to six.
Right.
Most of these guys want to get, based on their age, they want to get like their first contract after their entry level deal. They usually end up wanting it to be like a 3 or 4 year deal so that they can get one more contract before they get free agency, like free agency. so they can make as much money as possible if they assume they're going to be a good player. So that's just what it seems like is the year's thing. I think the money looks fine. The money's more than fine. I mean, that's a good compensation for the kid. Because, I mean, really, he's only had one good consistent season.
Yeah, and I don't remember exactly, but I think that his stats last year, a lot of it was kind of backloaded towards the second half of the season, if I remember right.
Right. And so they're trying to hedge themselves a little bit. But at the same time, he's trying to cash in while he can.
I can't blame him, but I also can't blame them. I mean, I think he's going to be a good player.
I can blame them.
Can you?
I can, yeah. I mean, okay, Columbus is in a very tenuous situation. You finally started to turn the ship around. You finally started to instill some sense of hope in the future in this – what has been a very loyal fan base, but it's always sort of been on the edge. It's always been a very shaky situation. You finally started to get things going in the right direction. Don't start screwing over your younger talent. That's my concern in all of this is that, look, Columbus, you're not in the position to start playing hardball with a lot of these guys. You're not. You got to keep as much of this team together if you want to establish any kind of long-lasting success in this league.
But
and the Blue Jackets are also drawing a line in the sand because they told him to not show up to camp. Oh, so God. he's at home in Vancouver right now. He's not even. Yeah. He didn't even report to training camp, and not because he was not going to report, but they said if you don't want to sign the contract, go just stay at home.
The thing that bothers me the most about this is that he's one of your best players, and whether right, wrong, or indifferent, why do you want to piss him off like this right before the season's going to start? You know, let's say he signs tomorrow. That's not going to take away any of the ill will that's taken place before all this. There's a better way to tell somebody, hey, you know what, we're not going to pay you this. I mean, you don't just go like, fuck you, we're not going to pay you. Sit down and explain your reasoning or something. I don't know. I think I'm with Mike on that. It's just, you don't want to start screwing with your talent. And I don't know. I hope he signs, but it's still, there's a couple bells I'm not going to be able to unring in this, I think.
Yeah, but at the same point, you can come back from these things. I mean, the Ducks dealt with it with Paul Kariya early on in his career. They did it with Bobby Ryan. The Kings did it, I think, just 4 years ago with Drew Doughty.
How'd that work out with Paul Kariya, by the way?
Well, I mean, he ended up staying and being very productive until he decided to do his garbage again and leave.
Worked out okay with Drew Doughty.
Right. So that's not to say that if he comes back and plays well, all will be forgotten. It's just sometimes when the business gets in the way of NHL, it kind of.
Well, I wish I hadn't made him one of my keepers in the fantasy league, but what are you going to do?
Well, you know, hopefully he'll be back by the start of the season. But actually, regarding the NHL in business, Tuesday of this week, the 16th, marked the 10-year anniversary of the start of the 2004-2005 NHL lockout.
The lost season.
The lost season.
Yeah.
So we're 10 years out from a full season of hockey.
Way to go, assholes. You totally, ruined hockey for me, and it took me until about, 2 years ago to finally start coming back.
Yeah,
good job.
I was going to ask kind of, what it kind of did for you guys, because I know for me, I just remember it sucking. Just it was the worst. And, of course, when it came back, I was so desperate for it that I forgot, oh, my God, the lockout, I don't care. Hockey's back, and I was so excited.
But
I know
pissed.
For someone like you, Greg, where it turned you away, right?
Well, here's the thing, okay? I've always kind of followed hockey my entire sporting life, you know, but never to the point I had gotten by the time the lockout rolled around. I became a Rangers fan in 92 when I've told the story before. I had to run commercials during their games, and that's how it all happened. But by the time the lockout happened, I was at the point where if we'd wanted to do basically a hockey show, I could have easily pulled it off, you know. And the lockout hit, and I don't know that – I just don't think I was – my roots weren't deep enough for that not to affect me. Whereas, say, like in baseball, it was like, well, you know what? I've been a baseball fan ever since I can remember. So I'm going to come back. With hockey, it was like, yeah, you know, I noticed that when it was gone, it didn't bug me all that much. And so it really hurt my fandom, and I just didn't care as much when it came back. And honestly, doing this show is what brought me back into it full bore, because you guys are such fans, and I started watching again, and I remembered, like, this is a great game. I love it. And I kind of kick myself now. Why did I waste the 6 years after that? But, yeah, it affected me a great deal.
I remember being incredibly pissed off, but I also remember in January, being really excited of that year because they had announced that they were going to like salvage the season. They're like, the season could start in February and it'll be a shortened season, but it'll be something. And then nothing came of that.
That was kind of the fear we had with the last lockout. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
Where you get into January and it's like, oh, it's going to come back. But it's like, we heard this before. They're gonna pull the rug out from underneath us.
The thing that I found hilarious about the first lockout, though, was when they came back, when they finally reached a deal, the players agreed to less money than they had turned down back in January.
Right. Because what the story of that is now – it's now kind of the problem of today. Mm-hmm. Is the players caved in.
In the first – yeah, which was –
so
which
now now when we go into the second lockout, the owners know all they have to do is wait because the players are going to want to play. They're going to want to earn their money, and all they have to do is wait, and they're going to get what they want.
And I just remember thinking back to a Seinfeld episode 10 years ago when that happened. It's that episode where George is in charge of negotiating with the NBC rep. And he finally, like, he holds out, but for less money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He ended up getting way less than he started at, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, and I just kept going, like, the point of negotiating, you see, is to get more money.
But, you know, the thing that still astonishes me to this day about it is that as much as I love hockey and as much as you guys love hockey, we all agree that it's not, of the big four sports, it's definitely a solid number four.
No, right. The lockout was a contributor to that.
I think, yeah.
I think at the time it was on the rise. ESPN was
right.
Doing well with it. But you take the lockout.
Yeah. And
ESPN doesn't want to touch you.
Right.
And you have to build up from square one with a lot of these people.
If you remember when they came back, the NBC rights were free. They got no money for that. Nothing.
The NHL had to pay NBC. And, God, I mean, they were on OLN.
Yeah.
They were on a show that had bass fishing.
Right.
As a regular staple.
You'd be watching a duck hunting show, and then the NHL pregame show would come on. It was ridiculous. But it just to me, it was like, you know, you're not that ingrained in the American culture, especially in the new markets that they had, you know, in the South, to blow a whole season like this. And it just astonishes me to this day. I still can't believe that one of the major four sports won an entire year without a season. It just didn't happen. It wasn't like 94 in baseball where they played up to a certain point and then it ended. It was just – it never started and it never happened. And I don't know, you know, where would they be today if they hadn't done that? I mean, even if they'd gotten in a half a season like they did last year or the year before.
Yeah.
Where would they be?
I mean, and the thing, too, is – despite how bad that was in the last 10 years, the NHL has been very lucky with the way that things have progressed.
Right.
Like, if it wasn't the Blackhawks doing well and the Bruins doing well and the Penguins doing well and the Red Wings doing well and et cetera, all the legacy teams doing well, if it was Ottawa and Tampa and Dallas and Arizona that were winning Stanley Cups or whatever.
If it was if the Western Conference Finals was the San Jose Sharks versus the Nashville Predators, then no one would have cared.
Yeah.
It's just such a – I mean, I remember back before it happened that if we were going to go out for a night and there was a game on that we wanted to see, we would tape it. That's how big of a fan I was before the lockout. And it just, you know, that's why you can't let a whole season go by like that because people just get into different habits. And then when it came back, it was just so weakened and so, you know, I mean, the free NBC rights, OLN, I don't even know if I could even tell you what channel it was on. I mean, I know it was all Outdoor Life Network, but you couldn't find it.
The worst part about it coming back was the thank you fans on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, how damned meaning is that to throw that on the ice?
Mm-hmm. Well, they had to do something.
I remember when we were talking about the last lockout. If they had come out last year, and had thank you fans on the ice, I would have thrown things. I would have pissed on it.
I think we even used it in a little retrospective we played at the end of our anniversary show.
Yeah.
Where you said you would drop your pants and piss all over it
because that's what it would have deserved.
Yeah.
Because thank you for sticking around and being mindless lemmings. No.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing, though. You know, when you're a hardcore fan, they know you're going to come
back.
That's the problem.
Canada came back running to the NHL.
What exactly do you want us to do?
Way to go, Canada. You couldn't watch curling or the CFL and make a point? Nope.
Well, like, that's the problem. Is like, as much as I want to say that it hurts, you know, all I could think of as my memory of it was like, damn, this sucks. And then when it came back, I think, honestly, while the lockout might have killed your fandom, Greg, I think the lockout might have ramped up mine.
Oh, you know, well, see, that happens too. I remember when...
Because it was gone for so long that I was like, I was so excited to have it back that I just went full bore into hockey more than any other sport I had ever gone into.
I was the same way after the baseball strike in 94. I mean, when the 95 season finally started, I think 2 or 3 weeks late, you know, I was like, all right, you know, it's back and all that. It didn't kill my fandom. It just you know, brought it down quite a few levels. I never stopped being a fan. I still watched the Stanley Cup Finals and all that, but I just wasn't interested in the day-to-day stuff anymore, whereas before that, like I said, I was, you know, I would tape games if I was gone.
The big thing, I mean, with Canada, the whole OLM thing, like, that never came up here. Like, the NHL always has a place on, like, the first rung cable and broadcast networks up here, but the big.
I mean, they're too polite to put it on anything less.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I mean, we could put you on, like, the Manitoba Life channel, but, you know, I mean, that would be just a little too disrespectful, and, I mean, it's Canada's game, right? So I guess we got to keep it on the CBC. And I mean, you couldn't put Don Cherry on Manitoba Life channel. No, he's got to be on the CBC playing out of Toronto so he can talk to all of us all. Ontarians, you know. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, for sure, it would be bad if the NHL went away because, you know, we like it and, you know, we don't want to be rude or anything and be like, no, stay there. Won't you come back? We'd be like, oh, no, please come. Here's a fillet of moose.
Fillet of moose.
What do you put on filet of mousse? Are you steak sauce on that or what?
Oh no, it's a maple base. it's a maple glaze with a powdered beaver tail that you just throw on the backside. Gives it a nice kick. You know? I think it was Bob McKenzie in a former life.
But I mean,
Bob,
like,
and Doug McKenzie.
Like, Rogers gives them what? Was it $5 billion? It was $5 billion, right?
Yeah, it'll be.
$5 billion.
For Rogers the NHL last year, yeah.
For the NHL packages, yeah. So, and now they've got Mark Messier hawking Rogers stuff all over Canadian television.
$5 billion with a B?
Yeah.
Holy
well,
hell.
Canadian dollars, so.
Yeah, well, they're pretty good dollars these days. And they got people playing hockey on the back of them. Come on.
Yeah, they're made out of
plastic. Actually, no, they took that off.
No.
Oh, no. They took the little shinny game off the back of the five of the fiver?
Yeah.
Don't the back? We still have the toonies, though, right? Those still exist, right?
Can't
lose our goose.
No. The toonies are the polar bear.
Oh, the loot. Right, sorry. I haven't used. I'm more of a credit card guy now, so I don't use the paper money. And plus, I'm trying to save trees because, you know, Canada, we have trees.
Wow.
I don't know. That's where that one ends.
See, the back of the $5 bill now shows the Canada arm from the space shuttle.
Oh, that's cool. I'm a NASA geek, so I'm down with that. I thought it was awesome when Canada built that arm.
Off of our traditions, Canada. Get your own space shuttle.
America put the flag on the moon. They own space.
That's right. Hey, you know what? Any other country's free to go up there and take it down. Knock yourselves out.
If somebody went up and took the flag off the moon, we would start a space battle.
Probably.
It'd be like that would start Star Wars.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of presumptuous of us to drop our flag up there, but hey.
On the moon.
Yeah.
Finders keepers, man.
We declare the moon for America.
Yeah, actually, Puerto Rico would be the 52nd state, not the 51st, because you forgot the moon is state number 51.
Well, the moon's a territory.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
They still pay taxes, though.
They have a representative in Congress, but he's not allowed to vote.
Right.
I totally forgot what we were talking about after
I wanted to get back to the NHL on OLN.
Okay.
I did see a couple of their broadcasts, and the pregame show had the most JV-looking set.
Didn't it?
It was so bad. It looked like it was filmed out of a high school.
It was bad. It
probably was.
It was pretty awful. The graphics were huge.
Yeah.
Took up the entire, like, top third of the screen. And poor Mike Emmerich, they put him on OLN. It's like, oh, what are you doing? Anyway.
I don't honestly remember much about the OLN years.
Yeah, it's good that you don't.
The set was
– We fought for airtime with Lance Armstrong.
Oh, my God. That set. I think that the set at my TV station is about as good as that.
Did you look it up?
Yeah, and that's not a compliment, folks.
Yeah.
But you know
what? NHL on the Outdoor Life Network.
It's a damn shame, though, because I always thought ESPN did a really good job with the NHL.
Right, but apparently when the NHL came back, ESPN would have taken it. But obviously with the same thing where – the NHL was basically almost paying for it.
Right.
But the NHL said, no, we're going to go to someone that cares for us and wants us to be part of their organization. So they went with the Outdoor Life Network.
You know,
it's kind of the same thing that they just did with 24/7 this week, too.
What's that? What'd they do?
24/7, the Road to the Winter Classic.
Right.
No longer on HBO.
Where's that now?
It's now on Epix.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Well, you won't know what it is, Greg, because it's not on DirecTV.
Oh, of course not.
It's actually – it's not – Epix only has about 10 million subscribers, and it's not offered by cable companies like Comcast. And, of course, Comcast owns NBC, which
who
is
– own the Flyers.
Who also own the Flyers and happen to be the media provider for the NHL in the United States. So
the show is going to be on that really no one can watch.
Well, apparently what happened was HBO footed most of the cost for the first season. But then in the following two seasons, the NHL footed most of the bill. And Rogers actually footed part of the NHL's bill because it was on Sportsnet in Canada.
Mm-hmm, 'cause the Leafs got in.
Yeah. So the NHL went back to HBO and said, hey, we have the Capitals, the Blackhawks this year in the Winter Classic. We want to do 24/7 again. What the league said was, yeah, we've kind of already done the Capitals and the Blackhawks have been on before. We don't really want to do the Winter Classic. What we do want to do is King Sharks for the Stadium Series because that will be different than all the other 24/7s that you've done. Because at its heart, HBO is a cable company. They want to put on programming that is consistent and engaging and stuff like that. But if they're like, yeah, this is kind of the same, we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do this. But the NHL has put so much time and effort into making the Winter Classic the game. They didn't want to shift the focus from that to the Stadium Series game. So they took their ship to Epix because Epix will pay the money. And instead they're going to do two 24/7 type series with the Winter Classic and the Stadium Series game.
Here's the thing. If you want the Winter Classic to be the game, then don't put five other fucking outdoor games with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, the one thing that Epix has going for it is apparently they have some sort of deal with Netflix or Amazon.
Okay.
So there might be a way that they'd show it like a week later or something like that.
Speaking of Netflix, I don't know if anybody else has watched it yet, but Trailer Park Boys Season 8 is on Netflix.
Park Boys is fantastic. Thank you again, Canada.
And Trailer Park Boys, honestly, Season 7, it was kind of like, yeah, I think the well's kind of run dry. They came back strong with Season 8. It's really funny. It's pretty good. Yeah. One of my favorite shows ever.
Nah, Trailer Park Boys, that's a national treasure.
It should be.
Yeah,
should be. The national
the only problem with Trailer Park Boys is when I watch it, I start swearing a lot more than I normally do.
Oh, man.
But
I don't know. This is just – the NHL always got – like even if you go back to the 80s, didn't they turn down some lucrative deal to be on some third-run cable sports network?
I don't know.
I can't remember the specifics. It was like they turned down – they turned down a pretty good deal to be on some low run cable network in like,
oh,
I think
yeah,
the
80s. They turned down, so they were on Sports Channel, I think it was.
Right, yeah.
And Sports Channel, from all accounts, was awful.
Yes.
Yeah.
But apparently they only went to Sports Channel because, like, they turned down, I think it was, might have been ESPN, I'm not sure, but they turned down some bigger option to go to Sports Channel, and basically the rationale was, we'll be the top dog on Sports Channel. Yeah, but nobody watches.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, is especially back in the 80s, ESPN, when they get the NFL in 88, I think, if you had gotten on ESPN in like the early 80s or the mid 80s, they would have been all over the NHL because it would have been one of the biggest sports they had. They only had at that time, I believe, was college football and Major League Baseball. So that would have been, I mean, they really could have really made some hay while the sun was shining in there if they'd gone with ESPN.
Could you imagine?
But Sports Channel was, that was actually one of the channels I had to run commercials on. The Islanders were on Sports Channel in New York. And they were just kind of like, like Fox Sports is now, like your local Fox Sports affiliate. That's what they were. We had Sports Channel Ohio, Sports Channel New York, that kind of thing. It wasn't, I don't recall it being like a full-fledged national network at any point. So if they did that, that was just a really dumb move.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but see, there is still fun stuff in sports. That was my point.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff going on. And I just wanted to bring this up, too. The NBA season will start shortly, and LeBron James will be back in Cleveland, and that'll be interesting. You may not like it.
Will LeBron's new and improved hairline.
Oh, did he do the Carlos Boozer thing and paint his head?
His hairline is seemingly not in the same place it was
nice.
In June. It looks to be slightly forward.
Well, let me see here. I've got to see
and a little
this.
Filled in. He unveiled his new shoe the other day, and people were like, oh, yeah, shoe's cool. But what's going on up top, LeBron?
Oh, holy cow! He did do the Carlos Boozer thing.
It certainly looks like it, doesn't it?
Well, it's not quite. I think he did a better paint job than Carlos Boozer did. But yeah, it's definitely a difference there. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach's Tabs.
Zach's Tabs.
So, a championship was awarded last week, gentlemen. Last Friday. Yes, you're hearing this first. Your Phoenix Mercury completed their sweep, three-game sweep of the Chicago Sky, and are your 2014 WNBA champs.
All right.
I didn't even know that the WNBA finals were being contested.
No.
I actually did, believe it or not, but I'm not going to lie and say that I knew because I follow it. I found out completely by accident. So
I did not
of my own volition, no.
So such a compelling storyline, and this didn't make the top hour of every sports show in North America?
Bad enough that it didn't make those. Didn't make ours, which is just shame on us.
Yeah, bad journalism.
On our part, yeah. Especially when we've got a journalist in our midst, and boy, did we blow that one.
Yeah, I dropped the ball, guys.
We'll get them next week.
Hopefully I can make up with this. Today, excerpts from an authorized biography of Temu Solani entitled Temu.
That's original.
They did some of the translations have come over, and there's some really damning quotes between Temu and Ducks head coach Bruce Boudreau.
Really?
Oh!
Solani says, if we had any other coach, I'd still be playing.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
How's that make you feel?
While Anaheim trailed the Kings 3-0 at the first intermission of Game 7, which...
right, yeah, I remember.
Solani knew it would likely be the last of his NHL career. He took out his phone between periods to text his wife and a couple friends, quote, fucking joke.
Yeah! Wow.
It would have been wrong if we had won a Stanley Cup with a coach like that, said Solani.
Oh.
Everything started well, but then my ice time got smaller and smaller, just like the previous year. Anything Boudreau had said wasn't true. After Temu went to the Olympics, he had a really good in one meeting just before the Olympics, Solani said he left confused after being instructed to, quote, give harder passes.
Oh, excuse me. I forgot. Hold on.
Harder passes. Following a Game 7 loss to Detroit in 2013, he claims the coach apologized for giving him just 12:55 of ice time and told him that he planned to use him more in the power play in the next round. Quote, Solani said, that was an unbelievable explanation. And the really damning one...
Hold on a second, people. I got to tell you
where
something.
Where did it go? Okay. I waited after everyone had left the ice. This was at between after game three when the Ducks lost 3-0 in Dallas, and Solani was scratched for game four. So in between the two games after practice, Tamu said he'd waited for everyone to, else to leave the ice and skated to Boudreau. I yelled at him right to his face what I was thinking. I asked what he had against me. I told him that since he became our coach, he has not respected me one bit. He has not put me on the ice when we played 5-on-3 or 4-on-4 and when we were one goal behind in the end of the game. Be honest for one time and answer. He just stammered that decisions were not his alone and that it was a group decision. I asked which group, and he said GMs and scouts. I yelled at him, whoa, what kind of coach are you if you don't even decide the lineup? He tried to skate away, but I just yelled that I wasn't finished. I told Boudreau, if you ever want to win something in the playoffs, you're going to need me. Nobody else wants to win as much as me.
So let me ask you, what do you think about all that? Is he right about the coach?
Here's the thing. Tamu, I never in my wildest dreams ever imagined something like that coming out of Tamu Solani's mouth. But, I mean, this is an authorized biography. He said this to the guy. I can only take it as true, which I assume it is.
Well, let me stop you right there. So, because this is so out of character for him. Does it carry more weight? Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it just if Tamu's frustrated, he'll say it and he'll say what's going on. And yeah, I could tell he was frustrated, but I just thought it was because here's where I back up Boudreau. Tamu just didn't look good.
Right.
Yes, he had a really good stint in the Olympics, but when he was playing. When he was getting more ice time with the Ducks, when he would show him out there, he was being exposed. He wasn't playing well. You know, in the playoffs when he was complaining about being sat down, he hadn't scored a goal in the last 11 games, and over that time he only put up 4 assists. And yeah, a couple years before that he led the team power play points, and yeah, his ice time had dripped a little in the last 2 seasons, but. I would argue that the lack of ice time was because of his effectiveness, not because he wasn't ineffective because he wasn't getting more ice time. He was getting less ice time because he was becoming ineffective.
Right.
So I think this is just more of Tamu being a passionate guy that, of course, like you said, nobody wants to win more than him, and I believe that wholeheartedly. But, you know, he just wasn't looking good. I would love to still have Tamu in the NHL and still be on the Ducks. But it probably wouldn't be a successful year for him this year. The other thing that he said in the thing is that he had such a rift with Boudreau that after I think it was 2 years ago or maybe even last year, he actually fully considered contract offers from the Winnipeg Jets, which of course would make sense.
Toronto!
And this would have broken my heart. The Los Angeles Kings.
Oh.
No.
He would have said to pull out a gun and shoot you at that point. It would have been more humane.
I couldn't have even imagined. Like, having Tamu traded to San Jose early in his career sucked, but that wasn't his decision. If he had chosen to play his final season with the Los Angeles Kings.
Oh.
Ugh.
Like I said, he would just pull out a gun and shoot you. It would have been more humane, I think.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's some harsh words, man. But
yeah. So now it's.
I mean, but
it's up to Boudreau to reel it in.
Let's look at Boudreau's track record, though.
Yeah.
It hasn't been the best.
No.
I mean, there might be something to say, and there might be something to these harsh words of Tamu Solani. The guy's proven that he can't get it done in the playoffs, and his past of Alexander Ovechkin.
Yeah, Ovechkin had issues with him, too.
Says that, you know, at first you thought, well, maybe Ovechkin's just being a Russian prima donna, but maybe in light of this, maybe Boudreau just doesn't know how to handle star players.
Well, as far as I can tell, Getzlaf and Perry like him, and they put up, you know, pretty high numbers. I mean, Getzlaf had the best year of his career last year,
mm-hmm.
Nominated for the Hart Trophy as MVP. But, you know, it's coming from a lot of different angles, and I think it was just maybe Tamu being frustrated that he wasn't playing well. And he thought that, well, if I, you know, you shouldn't, just because I'm not playing well, you shouldn't dock my ice time. I'm going to be effective. To me, there's two ways to look at it. It's either Boudreau really is an incompetent idiot, or Tamu was getting into a Brett Favre phase of his career where he
and
was
just
kind of
needed to hang it up.
Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it'll be interesting to see how Boudreau deals with his comments, because I know these came out today, but I don't know if he spoke with the media today or not. I'm sure he will tomorrow when the players start getting on the ice for camp. And I know I'm gonna go to training camp tomorrow to get my first look at the boys. I don't know, man.
I mean, again, I'm hardly a hockey expert, but that Ducks team to me, I think they were at times they looked like the best team, one of the best teams in the league, numerous occasions when I watched them. And so again, these things happen in any sport. What happened in Game 7 against the Kings, but I don't know.
But here's the thing, and it's gonna be one more shot with me with Boudreaux when it comes to the playoffs,
right?
Because I have no doubt they're gonna do well. But here's the thing that disgusts me. The last 2 years, when the Ducks have exited the playoffs, it was Game 7 at home against Los Angeles, and the year previous was Game 7 at home against Detroit. And in both of those games, it looked like the Ducks weren't ready. It looked like they gave up. It looked like they were ill-prepared.
Right.
It looked like they wanted to be anywhere else but in between those boards on those two games specifically. So I don't know if that's a Boudreaux thing or if it's just a weird quirk of sports. Give me one more shot with it, and if the same thing happens, I'm prepared to dump them.
I mean, that's the thing.
Because this team is too good, it has been too good, to not get anything out of it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you talk about the Game 7 last year. I don't remember the one against the Red Wings 2 years ago, but
it was almost equally as lifeless. It wasn't as bad on the scoreboard, but it was pretty close. That third period was pathetic.
So what happens? I mean, what's the theory that could – does he push him too hard? What's the story? I mean, why –
Well, no, because the thing was with Randy Carlyle when they got rid of him. The rap on him was that he pushed him too hard. And that Boudreaux was the more open, free-flowing, hey, let's go play and have fun type of guy.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird circumstance.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. I'll be curious to hear what Boudreaux has to say about it. Yeah.
And, I mean, just to make it more damning, the Hockey News, our good friends of the Hockey News, they when they released their predictions the other day, it caught my eye because the predictions say, the Anaheim Ducks are Stanley Cup champion prediction if the Blackhawks or Kings don't do it.
Ouch.
Oh.
In their mind, they think that the Blackhawks and Kings are so far ahead, the favorites, to win the Stanley Cup, either one of those two teams, that they said, well, just in case if that seems to falter, we're going to pick the Ducks also, just in case. So,
Toronto!
We dealt with how dumb the Hockey News can be over the summer.
Yeah, I was going to say, they think that, I forget some of the logos they thought were better than others, but it's hard to take them seriously after that.
Speaking of logos... Did you guys notice the New York Mets controversy?
Oh, yeah.
As you know, the New York Mets logo, pictures of skyline in the New York City. But suspiciously, the Mets' official Twitter and Facebook this week, they started using a slightly altered version of the logo. At the far right, they changed the United Nations tower, and they had sliced the portion of it off so it looked similar to the top of the Citigroup Center. The problem is, even though the building is called the Citigroup Building, mm-hmm. Citibank has not owned that building in 13 years. They switched back because people noticed, and so they made a big deal about it.
And maybe it was just one of those little – they were trying to slip a little subliminal advertising in there, and it blew up. But, yeah, I heard about that, and then it turns out the fans were not at all happy about it.
No.
And the Mets fans – first off, who knew there were still Mets fans? But second,
they had a moment of brilliance last week when their starting pitcher threw eight straight strikeouts to set a modern record to start a game.
Great uniforms, probably my favorite uniform in all of baseball. The Mets, the home pinstripe, awesome look.
I actually prefer their NY logo to the Yankees.
I do too. I agree with you. Yeah.
Let's see. You guys know who Gus Johnson is, right?
The basketball guy, the screamer.
Yeah, the screamer, the on fire.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just gets really into it. Well, he, for the last few years, has been Fox's number one soccer announcer because they got the rights to the World Cup, so we're trying to groom him in time for the 2018 World Cup. But 29 months after his immersive training in soccer began, he has stepped down from the role. So there's
why?
Number one soccer announcer.
Did he say why?
He said he has an impending wedding and he wants to spend more time with his family, and that doing Whoa. All the soccer assignments was going to send him abroad. And last year when he had to work the Champions League final, his mother was actually dying in the hospital. So he didn't
He and Sandy Koufax, no commitment.
And apparently, the other thing that Fox is saying that they heard it, but it wasn't a part of the reason. He got a lot of criticism in terms of his soccer announcing style because if you know his style, it works well for a fast-paced game like basketball,
right?
Or a game with punctuations like football. But in soccer, where there's a lot of nothing that kind of goes on for a while,
Greg. He admitted it.
Like in terms of a soccer announcer, you can't keep saying, "Well, he passed it, and he passed it to him, and he passed it to him, passed it to him." You kind of have to just set a mood. The American accent is kind of harsh, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little punchy.
Get Doc Emmerich onto a calling soccer.
No.
He pancakes the ball.
Okay, so side tangent. Doc Emmerich is the new announcer for NHL 15 on the video game.
Oh, I've got to buy this now.
And I've been playing it, of course, nonstop over the last few days. And it's just so funny because, the phrase that I get a lot in there is accidentally blocked. Like when you block a shot, you just happen to be in the way. It's accidentally blocked by the defenseman.
See, I got to pick up this game.
What a try!
I'm gonna be playing this the entire weekend. I'm just gonna.
And whenever the second period ends, almost like every other game, he'll go into intermission saying, "Since 1947, hockey has been a game of three periods, not two halves. We have the third one coming up."
While we're on the topic of NHL 15, how is it? Is it good?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, I got the Xbox 360 version.
Right.
It's essentially a copy paste of NHL 14.
Okay.
With slight changes to the physics system, a little improved AI. They're small changes and they help, but at its core, it's still last year's model.
The only system I currently have is a PS3. Would the PS3 version be worth it?
If you have, well, when's the last NHL you got?
14.
12 for me.
I guess it depends. For if you have 12, Greg, I would suggest getting it.
Okay.
There's been enough improvement since then to make it worth your time. But, I mean, it depends on what you want to play it for.
What if I want Doc Emmerich?
Well, you get Doc Emmerich. But, oh, here's the other thing. In the Xbox One version, you get the full NBC Sports presentation, where there's the NBC Sports graphics, and they show an exterior shot of the stadium before the game, and then they go in and they sat Mike Emmerich and Eddie Olczyk in front of a green screen and had them do some generic introduction to the game. But on the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions, you don't get that. You hear Doc Emmerich, you can hear Eddie Olczyk, and you hear Ray Ferraro. And if you think I'm good at Canadian accent, Ray Ferraro is better. But it also seems like some of the commentary for the 360 and PS3 versions seems almost more generic. Like they put more lines into the into the next gen version because there's more memory space. He's still there. You get his – he elevators the puck. Oh, he passes it geometrically.
Oh, you know this one.
Just some of the things are so great.
Okay, this is how you make the perfect NHL game, EA. Doc Emmerich on commentary.
Yes!
Then be a GM mode. You have a sub mode where you can opt in to be a GM as Brian Burke.
There you go.
All the reports, all the graphs have been replaced with Brian Burke terminology, so now there's a truculence stat.
What about the dream aspect of it? Is that going to be there too?
Oh, of course. Of course. There's going to be like a period, right, where like you go to sleep, and then when you like wake up, it tells you who to sign.
It's this totally screwed up dream sequence type thing that you've got to kind of figure out.
It's like Jerome McGinley as a midget dancing in a red room.
Annie, well, while we're talking about it, really quick, how are the uniforms in it? That's the big question.
They're fine. Okay. I mean, they've updated them all. Like, they have the Ducks Stadium Series jersey in there.
Cool.
The one thing with the Ducks jerseys, though, they just changed the collar on the home and got the new matching white?
Yeah.
The collars on the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions are wrong.
Oh, the
Xbox
screws up
One
so many
and
things.
PS4 versions, they're right.
Of course.
So they didn't even bother putting the new jersey style into the old game, basically.
Yeah, well, EA screws up so many uniforms in so many games anyway.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
But everything's there. I mean, I wish they had some more throwback options for some of the teams.
Yeah.
It's weird how a lot of throwback options have been taken out over time.
Yeah.
Almost. I remember with the Toronto Maple Leafs and Montreal Canadiens, if you go back to like NHL like 2001, you used to be able to play in like every variation of uniforms that those two teams had going back to like their inception. And now they've just cut a lot of them out, though.
Did you guys ever get to play NHL 2001 on the PC?
Yes, that's actually my favorite NHL experience.
Oh, me too. I mean, because not only was it a great game, but you could go and get all these little like downloadable things and put – like I had – I mean, the Rangers, I had their, the whole Madison Square Garden with the ads and everything were right. It was just so cool, all the stuff you could bring to it. I must have played that game. God, I got to think I played at least 12, 13 seasons in the year that I had it before the new one came out. And I bought the new one and it sucked, so I went back to the old one. But, oh, my God, it was the greatest game ever. NHL 2001, PC, go get it.
Yeah.
Most of the players. Yeah, it's awesome. It was great. It's too bad.
It's probably my favorite one, all things considered.
Yeah, me too, easily. I mean, God, I played the shit out of that thing. But anyway, go ahead, Zach. What's
next? NHL 94 is still the best. But
I actually started with NHL 95, which is pretty good too.
Let's see. As far as things that I have left here, Coca-Cola.
Ah, now we're
back. Surge.
Really?
For like a day, they offered it on Amazon to pre-order, and it sold out in like a matter of hours.
What is Surge?
Surge
their Mountain Dew.
Right. Oh, okay.
Coke was their Mountain Dew answer to Pepsi.
All right.
So you could have bought special brands of Surge Cola. Online.
I remember back in the mid-90s when that stuff came out, and there were stories of kids going into like shock. Because there was so much caffeine in it.
Do you guys remember Jolt?
No.
No?
Next, Greg tells us if we've tried Dr. Old Timey's tonic water.
Oh, Jolt wasn't that old. It was like, it was back in the... Hold on, I'm going to find out.
Dr. It was Jones Cola, made with real sugar.
Hold on a second.
Cures all ailments, it does.
All right, okay, never mind.
Wasn't the original Coca-Cola supposed to be a medicine?
Yeah, it was supposed to...
It was a soft drink all along, but it had cocaine in it.
It had cocaine in it, but it was marketed as a medicine.
It would be prescribed to people. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, Jolt is a little before your time. It was 1985.
Yeah,
but it's been around. It was around until 2009, so fuck off, both of you, on the age thing. There you go. But back to Coke, yeah, it was prescribed. I just watched a thing on it a couple days ago. It was prescribed as a medicine, had cocaine in it, and those were the days.
Yeah.
What's up with Jameis Winston? What's that all about?
Okay. Do you know what he said, right?
No, I don't.
Okay. So you know Jameis Winston's history, right, with his rape allegations and things of that nature?
Please tell me he didn't rape or steal crab legs again.
No.
Or worse, rape crab legs.
No, okay, so...
He rapes a poor crab.
There's been an internet meme over the last few months where this lady was doing a newscast and some guy in a hooded sweatshirt and sunglasses comes up and grabs the microphone from her and yells into it, fuck her right in the pussy. Jameis Winston was really funny and stood on a table in one of the dining halls, I guess, at Florida State, and stood up and yelled it at the top of his lungs.
Why?
Because he thought it would be funny.
Oh, it's hysterical, Jameis.
It might have been funny in a very, very crude way if it wasn't Jameis Winston.
Exactly, because he has this history. So he's been – I mean, they've come down with a harsh punishment. He's been suspended for the first half against
Clemson. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you want to talk about the NFL certainly got its issues, but college football. Come on.
You're suspended for 5 minutes.
Who are they playing this week?
Clemson.
Oh, well, that might make a difference, but
see, it would have been hilarious if it was against one of those like third tier level teams.
Well, that's the way Ohio State usually does it. If a guy gets suspended for a half or a game or whatever, it's against the School of the Immaculate Word or whoever it was we talked about last week.
Excuse me.
I don't know. They've got the University of
Incarnate Word.
Oh, that's it, right?
The University of Incarnate. I don't know. They've got that school was founded by nuns. They probably have some pretty badass disciplinary standards.
Damn it! Now I have to drag out those Gregorian chants again because we're talking about that school.
I'd like to think that you go there and it's like a medieval abbey where like you have to go study, right? So you pull this old tome off of a shelf and then you like throw it down on this old wooden like oak desk and you've got this one candle as your light source as you crouch over reading as a nun like sternly walks by the aisles of a ruler.
The last thing, I have to send you a link to this one because it's a photo and you need to read it.
Okay.
It turns out that Malaysian news editors are very committed to being accurate in their craft.
Okay, let's see here.
For those that can't see the picture, what it is it's a picture of a Malaysian news article. And they're talking about 50 Cent and how much money he earns. And so they took the money at the bottom and they said United States, $260 million. And they converted that into Malaysian money, which it says RM, $795 million. So with 50 Cent,
they converted
his name into Malaysian dollars. So 50 cents American, if you needed to know, is $1.50 in Malaysia.
That's
so
awesome.
In Malaysia, is he $1.50?
Yeah. I was just going to say the same thing. Can we start calling him $1.50 or something like that?
Also, okay, this is a very special edition of Mike's Tabs. Actually, he's only got one tab.
Mike's Tabs!
There we go. But check out the cycling uniforms of the Colombian women's cycling team.
All right.
Let's check this out.
Ooh, they're something, aren't they?
Holy cow!
Those aren't transparent. Those are flesh colored, but they catch your eye.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to see this bigger.
Scroll down.
Oh, wow. Well, from a distance, man, that's
Well, the thing that makes it better is because since they're cyclists, they wear a comforting pad between their legs because of the seat, and it gives you an illusion that
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, see, from a distance, I'm like, what the hell? They're not – okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's the reasoning behind this? Just to be shocking, basically?
Probably.
Well, it worked.
Get the sponsor some views, even though no one's going to look at the sponsor.
If I was a sponsor, I'd be like, God damn it, nobody's going to look at my logo.
The first picture I saw, it's kind of far away, and I'm like, how the hell are they making the pant legs stay up? But, yeah, that's some good stuff. All right. Way to go, Colombia.
Before we go, even though there'll be a decision, let's have an update.
Oh, yes.
Scotland.
What are we updating?
Scotland.
Oh, okay. Current count, 16 of the 32 districts are in, so half the districts are in. The vote to stay in the United Kingdom, 55.90. The vote in favor of independence, 44.10.
Scotland's going to be sticking with the United Kingdom, it looks like.
It looks...
Yeah, that's what looks to be happening. This one says at 4:34 a.m. Scottish time, 15 councils have actually declared their
results.
I've
got it on the BBC, and I got 16 at the moment. But
I'll take the BBC over the Mirror.
The exit polls that were released at around 5:30 our time, 10:30 more or less British Standard Time, had it pegged at a 54-46 vote in favor of staying in the UK, and that looks like where we're at. But the important thing to keep in mind is that a lot of the big population centers haven't reported in yet.
So what are the chances, seriously? Because what is it, 55? Would you say 55 what?
It's currently 55.9 to 44.1.
I don't see them making that up, even though the big areas haven't voted yet.
The big thing was the very first district to report in was the delightfully British named Clackmanshire, the city of Clackmanshire. That was pegged as a solid independence battleground, a solid independence district, but
right.
But the pro UK side ended up winning 53.8 to 46.2. So
that's a bad sign.
It looks like God save the Queen. And
where do you fall on this? Like, Mike, you're all about all things United Kingdom. Do you want independence or not?
I prefer for the United Kingdom to stay united.
Zach?
They can take our rights, but they'll never take our freedom.
That movie, as a historian, bugs the crap out of me.
So basically, yeah, I mean, I'm 60% Scot. I have no actual ramifications to whether it happens or not. But sure, I'd like an independent Scotland. Why not?
Okay, fair enough. As long as the Union Jack stays the same, I really don't care what happens because it's an awesome flag,
like,
and they don't need to mess with it.
The Lord Chancellor of Arms and Banners has said that.
God damn it, Britain.
It's great because...
You bunch of pompous pricks.
Because it's all – because we've got technically all the same institutions in Canada because the Canadian government is basically copy and paste from the British government.
Well, yeah.
So we've got all
they were,
those –
of course, they were too polite to remove the titles and power, of course.
Well, you know, it's like that was the whole point. You know, we politely asked for our independence. Like, you know, we'll keep the queen.
Yeah, which we recapped brilliantly on the show at one point.
We'll keep the queen above the prime minister there, you know. Yeah. But
you know, just for politeness sake.
Yeah, the Canadian government breakdown that Zach did was one of the finer moments in our history, I believe.
But
I'll have to isolate that and put it in my reel. See, I can be a Canadian talk show host too. I got it down perfect. You'll never know I'm from California.
He's got Ray.
Oh yeah, the Leafs. I mean, they gotta fire Randy Carlyle, right? I mean, come on. We get your reactions. Phone in 949. Call into the score. We're ready to take your phone calls. Oh, yeah. Jimmy from Mississauga. What's up? Yeah, you know, I think that Randy Carlyle should be fired as well. But, you know, just maybe give him a nice pension so he can still survive and feed his kids and whatever. Yeah, you know, that's a really great point.
It's like I'm listening to talk radio.
Let's go back to Mike out in Kitchener. Mike, what are your thoughts?
You know, if they're going to fire Randy Carlyle, at least they can do it politely. You know, don't be right. too harsh. Sit him down nice.
No, I mean, they'd probably invite him in and give him a scone or something of that nature.
A coffee from Tim's.
Maybe a nice cap as well. It'd just be right and polite also. We'll be taking more of your calls at the other end of this break. Right now, let's have a message from our sponsors, Tim Hortons and the Beaver Hunters Association.
And on that note, any final thoughts, guys?
My final thing I'm going to say, oh, Canada. Oh, Canada.
I was going to bring up something about U2 and the iTunes debacle, but...
Oh, they go right out their ass.
That, I mean, yeah, I'm a U2 fan. I was like, first off, I think the album sucks. Secondly, it's like, you know, what if I don't want it?
Right.
You know?
Well, they did. Apple did provide a link to that you could just click a button and it would delete the thing from your.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to turn down a free U2 album, but still ask me first, you know? But yeah. I don't know if you guys are U2 fans or not, but I listen to it.
I like old U2.
Yeah, me too. I like old. I'll go with that.
New the last U2, U2 song that I could say I almost liked was Vertigo.
Anyway, yeah, the new album, I think it blows, so there's that. And.
All right.
Any final thoughts other than that the U2 album sucks and that no one wanted it?
No, it's not bad. I mean, it's just not the best work I've heard. But you know, it's not terrible. I'll keep it on my iTunes just because you know, Canadian iTunes we don't have a delete button because.
Well, it would be rude to delete it,
that
too,
would be
wouldn't
rude.
It?
It would just be rude and unpolite and unnatural. So.
Nobody wants to hear that their song's been deleted. Come on.
Right. Oh. That's going to do it. We will see you all next time right here on Basically a Sports Show.
So, I don't know. I'm not trying to ask you to leave or stop listening or anything like that. But, I mean, we're done. So, I'm going to allow you to leave. And I'm going to say so long. And maybe you could stick around. I mean, like we have some waffles and pancakes on the griddle, ready to go. With some, you know, we just tapped the tree outside for some syrup. And I'm gonna go over here. So just so long.